Well, it's good to be with you again. I know a lot of folks were out of town last week traveling with Easter, but I know a lot of folks were in town as well. I know I was blessed by our Easter service here, and so I pray that you were as well. And for those of you who haven't met me yet, or I haven't met you yet, my name is David. I'm on staff here with NLCF, and this morning we're going to be jumping back into our series called Stand Firm, where we've been looking at these different pieces of the armor of God and how they allow us, they equip us to stand firm in the midst of anxiety, of difficulty, of spiritual warfare, of all these types of things. And so we're going to jump back into that today. And to do that, to kind of get our heads back thinking in this vein, I'd like us just to read through kind of our core passage in Ephesians 6. And so we're going to read that starting in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." So it's kind of where we've been a little bit. And today we're going to be talking about the helmet of salvation specifically, how it is so key to our life and our minds. And so let's pray, and then we'll jump into that a little bit more. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for this family that is our church and our congregation. Lord, I've just been excited for this morning. I pray that you would speak truth in our hearts. Help us to know your truth and let that cast out any lies or doubt of the enemy. Amen. I think it's really fitting that we're coming into today talking about the helmet of salvation coming right off the heels of Resurrection Sunday. Because if you're here with us last week, you might remember that kind of a key moment was this idea that the resurrection changes everything. And we had these big words on the walls that said, "What changed?" And we're all challenged to think about that and answer that question of what in our lives has changed because of the resurrection. And so you might have seen this graphic floating around social media this week, but it's a word cloud that was developed from all the text in responses that we got. And this is beautiful. I mean, you've got freedom, you've got hope, purpose, my future, everything. I just think that's so amazing and beautiful because with the resurrection, in salvation, it changes everything. And so when Paul talks about the helmet of salvation, I think we maybe ought to pay attention a little bit. Because our helmet ultimately gives us life. All right, but in addition to that, this helmet of salvation protects our mind and our thought from lies and doubt cast by the enemy. And so that's kind of the two areas of thought we're going to go into this morning, how the helmet protects and gives us life, but also how the helmet protects us from lies and doubts and protects our thinking as well. And so as I was preparing for this morning, I was like, what about helmets? Why is the helmet the thing that is associated with salvation? And obviously, soldiers in Paul's day wore helmets as they went into battle, but I imagine that a lot of us have experience with helmets as well, all right? Maybe not battle helmets, but how many of you, just to take a quick poll here, how many of you have worn a helmet for some sort of activity, sport, etc., in your life? Okay, I think that's most of us in the room. And so, you know, whether we're talking about bicycling, football, hockey, lacrosse, sailing, rock climbing, horseback riding, baseball, softball, all of these things, it's a very common idea to wear a helmet. And I think a lot of us even start learning that this is important at a very early age. All right, for me, it was when I played t-ball. Aw, look at that. Thanks, Mom, for sending those pictures. But we learn when we're like 5 or 6 that wearing a helmet is important. But then we also still wear helmets as adults. That we just kind of have this knowledge, this understanding that wearing a helmet is important. You know, we know this because we know we have to protect our head. We don't always consciously think about the medical implications of if we were to get hit by the head, but it's just something we know and understand. We know how critical our head and our brain are to the function of the entire rest of our body. This is something that was kind of brought to the surface of media's attention a few years ago when Will Smith starred in a movie, Concussion. Some of you might have seen it. This movie kind of follows a story of Dr. Bennett Amalu, this doctor who began noticing some of the very tragic effects of being hit in the head when you're playing football specifically. After so many repeated hits in the head, things in the body, bad things started to happen. You know, I think even though we don't have a whole lot of medical knowledge, we can understand pretty easily and name off several things that could happen when we get hit in the head. I mean, we could be knocked unconscious, could be bleeding in the brain, paralysis, maybe even death. Right? When your brain isn't functioning right, it's very hard for the rest of your body to function right either. Head injuries are serious business. Any medical professional will tell you that. And so when Paul is talking about the helmet of salvation, I think it's good for us to understand, even from a medical perspective, that the head is the source of life. When we read about the helmet of salvation, we're talking about head protection. I think we're really talking about life protection. How the helmet, how salvation gives us life. I think it's also important to note that a lot of times the helmet is our last line of defense. I mean, if you think about it, and you're in the midst of battle, you might be able to throw down your shield and run and still make it a little ways. You might even lose your shoes or your belt or maybe even your breastplate and last for a little while. But if you go out without a helmet and get hit in the head, you're done for. If you lose every other piece of armor, it's the helmet that might just be the final thing that saves your life. And in a similar way, this notion of death is Satan's final blow. It's his last play. It's the thing that Jesus took on the cross that we talked about last week to bring us salvation in the first place. And so if this helmet of salvation is so important and so intimately ingrained in giving us life, we should probably talk about what that life is. All right, what is this life that we gain through salvation? And to answer that question, I feel like the Spirit guided me to a verse in John 10:10. You can turn to it in your Bibles or it'll be up on the screen. But it's in this section that Jesus is kind of referring to himself as the good shepherd. He's talking about how he knows the flock and the flock knows him and he's the protector. And then in verse 10, it says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The good news for us today is that through salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we can have abundant life. And this word for abundantly in the Greek, it gives us this picture of all around excess, of more than, of beyond what was expected. This kind of picture of an overflowing cup, a life that is full. But sometimes this abundant life isn't exactly what we picture it to be. It's not exactly what we expect. So to help us understand this a little bit, I've got a quote from Ed Stetzer. He says, "Abundant life is not about what we have. It's not about what we get. It's not about what we claim. Ultimately, abundant life is about what we receive as a gift from the Lord and to live knowing that we are stewards of the blessings of God. It's not about what we have. It's not about what we get. It's not about our treasures and our possessions and our GPAs and our internships and our job promotions. This abundant life that Jesus talks about is life with him. Life in him, both now as well as eternally. It's hope. It's so much more than we can ever think or imagine. And yes, there are glimpses of God's beauty breaking in now, but there's a lot of hurt and pain and suffering along with it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." All right, we don't deserve the helmet. All right, what we have earned, the wages for what we have done, is to go out into battle without a helmet and receive death. But God said, no, I don't want you to do that. I have this gift, this helmet of salvation. Go out without it. It's this free thing of life in me. It won't always be easy. It probably won't even always feel good, but it will always be better. Because we are resting our hope in this eternal, unchanging, ever-loving God of the universe. Are you with me, church? If you're here today not having given over your life to Christ, but you're hungry, you're thirsty for something more, you desire this eternal life, this harmony with God, I wonder, why not start that today? Talk to God, ask him to be the Lord over your life. Confess that sometimes you choose your way instead of his, that you've messed up, that we all participate in this power of sin in the world. But we believe that Jesus Christ made a way for us. He died on the cross and paid the price so that we could be back in perfect harmony relationship with God. That's the good news. But as I've heard it so beautifully described before, the gospel, it takes a minute to learn, but a lifetime to master. And so if you want to start a relationship with God today, do that. Dive in and keep diving in daily. Submit yourself to his will being done, to his kingdom being built. And the more you dive in, seeking to learn more about him, the closer you'll grow to him and the more of this beauty and this majesty you'll start to understand. If that's you, take a step today. Grab someone, go talk with them. Write on your blue Connect card that you want to take a next step with Christ. If you've never been baptized before, if you've never publicly declared your faith in Jesus, write that on your card. We're going to be doing baptisms as a church next week. All right, maybe you're not even ready to take a step, but you just got some questions. That's okay too. Write that on your blue Connect card. Please, let's talk. Don't wait until next week. Don't wait until life gets less busy, because let's be real, it probably won't. This abundant life with Christ is the greatest gift, the greatest thing we could ever be about. The difficulty comes when this gift, this abundant life in Christ, gets attacked a little bit. So how does this helmet, this salvation, actually actively confront the schemes of the enemy? Well, I think our salvation protects our mind and our thinking from lies and doubt cast by the enemy. So we just talked about how salvation gives us this beautiful, abundant life. And now I want to talk about how salvation can protect us from lies of the enemy. All right, like we've been talking about this whole series, lies are one of the quickest, easiest ways for Satan to get at us. We start doubting ourselves. We start doubting God, his goodness, his faithfulness. And one lie that can quickly come up from this is the idea that we have to work harder in order to achieve our salvation. One area I see this a lot in is when we go to Honduras. If you've been with us on a trip, you know what I'm talking about. Because a lot of the conversations that we have with people deal with kind of the assurance, this being sure of their salvation. Because for a lot of folks, what they've learned is that they have to do better. They have to go to church more. They have to sin less in order to have this relationship with God, in order for God to let them into heaven, so to speak. But what I think a lot of this is the enemy kind of sneaking in a lie from culture. We start to believe that culture's way of doing things might just be better than God's. This lie that we have to do better and try harder to get ahead. Because I imagine you felt this constant striving, this seeking, this grasping to get at that next thing. But Jesus says, no, that's not the way at all. Because no matter how much grasping or seeking or clamoring, we can never do enough good things. We can never be enough of a good person to earn our salvation by our own doing. But if we are firmly grounded in our salvation, what it means, where it comes from, only by the grace of Jesus, if we focus on that, we can be protected from the lie of the enemy. Our helmet of salvation protects us from the lie that we have to work harder in order to earn God's love. That we have to work harder or sin less to somehow be confident and sure of our eternity with the Lord. Another way that the helmet of salvation meaningfully and actively protects us is by combating the lie that somehow God's love is conditional to how life is going. A lot of times what can happen is in our life there's a series of events, some good and some bad, and our tendency is to kind of focus in on the bad things and in the hopes of kind of figuring out why they're happening so we can not have to go through them. And it's not inherently bad. It's our natural tendency to want life to be a little bit easier. But where I think the potential for lies can come in is when we start assigning blame to why this bad is happening. God, why are you doing this to me? Which can quickly lead to, God, do you even still love me? If there is this much pain and hurt and suffering in my life, I just don't know if I'm convinced anymore. Maybe you've been in that place. Maybe you're in that place now. But our helmet of salvation can help correct these lies. We know from Romans 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor thing present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In other words, how life is going is not an indicator of how much God loves us. We know that because Jesus came and showed us how to live and then died paying the price that we formerly owed, that is evidence that God loves us. And that does not change. That does not waver. If we can daily remind ourselves of these truths, that is what helps us take up this helmet of salvation each and every day. I think one other thing that the helmet of salvation does for us is it gives us boldness. All right, our salvation gives us the confidence and the courage to step out and take these steps of faith. All right, how many of you, when you first strap on a helmet, the first thing you do, give it a good smack, all right? You say, let's go. Let's do this. I'm ready to go do something. Because all of a sudden, when we put that helmet on, we know. There's this knowing that we are protected. And so all of a sudden, we're so much more willing to take these steps and do things that we weren't willing to do before. And the same is true with our faith. When we go out each day in the confidence that we are saved and we have this abundant life with Christ, that should give us courage. But obviously, some of you are probably thinking that this isn't always easy. This doesn't always come so naturally to us. Helmets can take some getting used to. Right, during football preseason practices, maybe you've seen our team practicing this spring. Sometimes you'll notice that they practice with only helmets and no other padding. And I found out that one of the reasons for that is simply they've got to get used to wearing the helmet again. All right, many of the players have spent months in the spring and the summer not wearing the helmet, and so they've got to get kind of reaccustomed to the weight of it. To the feel, to the lines of sight, your range of motion. All right, it takes some time to get used to it. Because helmets, admittedly, they can feel a little weird at times. The first time you put one on, especially like ATV and motorcycle helmets, they can even feel a little bit constricting. And so if some of what we've been talking about with salvation and this abundant life, if it doesn't quite feel right now, that's okay. If you're new to this idea of salvation and having a personal relationship with God, it might take some time to get used to this idea of salvation and what it means to you. It may take a little while before we really start to feel this salvation is actually a piece of armor defending us against the lies of the enemy. But that doesn't mean we don't start the relationship, right? We start the relationship. We dive into it, and the longer we walk with God, the more this understanding comes, and the stronger the helmet starts to feel. Because the longer you're in the game, the more natural that helmet is going to feel. So to begin wrapping up this morning, I think there are just a few simple practices that if we can engage in them regularly will allow us to be rooted in this helmet. And I say that they're simple practices because sometimes in the heat of battle, in these intense moments, it's a call back to the fundamentals. It's going to be what gets us through. They have to be repeated over and over again until they're second nature. And one of those things is memorizing scripture, all right? This thing that, honestly, we probably talk about doing a lot more than we actually do, all right? Maybe this week you go and you memorize these verses. Maybe you find other verses that allow God's truth of salvation to resonate in your heart. Right? We've got to constantly remind ourselves of truth, and memorizing scripture, memorizing truth, is one way that we can do that. Another way we can remind ourselves of truth is by remaining in community. And I appreciate Cody's snapshot kind of talking about that. Because especially this time of year, the tendency is to kind of let off the gas, to kind of coast out a little bit. We start to check out mentally and physically, kind of slowly pushing away from community. But again, like we've been talking about this whole time, this whole series, as soon as we start stepping out of community and isolating ourselves, that's when the enemy starts to take his aim a little bit sharper. Because it's much easier to attack someone isolated from community than when you're in the midst of the herd. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's a lot easier when you're isolated. We have community around us to help remind us of the truth of our salvation, even if we're in one of these moments where we just can't tell ourselves that. And lastly, I encourage you to spend some time this week just thinking about, what does salvation mean to you? What does the gospel mean to you? Can you actually articulate it? Can you explain it to someone in 30 seconds, in a minute, in 5 minutes? Maybe you just write it out. Type it out on a Word document. What does salvation mean to you? Can you actually explain it? Write it down this week to remind yourself of truth. And again, these are just a few simple things, but it's a call back to the fundamentals so that we can daily stay rooted in this armor, this helmet of salvation that's strapped tightly to our heads as we remind ourselves that it gives us life and also protects our mind and our thinking from the lies of the enemy. And then if we take this helmet and combine it with the other pieces of armor, and then like it says in Ephesians 6, after all the armor, it says, and in all things, pray in the Spirit. If we do that, I believe that we're going to be able to stand firm no matter what the enemy throws at us. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, I thank you for your salvation, and I just pray over our hearts this morning. I pray for a softness. I pray that you would cast out the lies of the enemy that maybe have been tormenting us for years. Spirit, in your power, we just ask that you would cast them out. God, that we would know the truth of your salvation and be confident in that. There might be these steps of faith, these things that we've been afraid of for a long time, Lord, that fear has been controlling us instead of the power of your Spirit. God, open our eyes to that today. Remind us of the truth that we need to hear this morning. God, the words of the song, it just says, you give life, you are good, you bring light in the darkness. And we ask that you do that today. Amen.